You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing any articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Time for some football talk with Mike Florio. He is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. We're participating, Mike, in a mass civic delusion that the Bears, what, current 3% playoff chances worth taking this game tomorrow night seriously against the equally 6-6 Cowboys.
Yeah, look, it's not. I mean, anything can happen,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
And every year I say this, teams before the season, whether it's coaches, players, GMs, owners, our goal is to win the Super Bowl. Our goal is to win the Super Bowl. The real goal for any franchise in the NFL is to be relevant in December. And the Bears are relevant in December, and that's good, right? There are plenty of teams that aren't relevant in December. And how it plays out, there's going to be another December where the mathematical probabilities will be better or worse or whatever, and you go play the games and you see what happens. But the Bears don't have an easy road by any means, and I think we know who the six teams who will make it to the postseason in the NFC are, and barring a collapse by the Packers, the Vikings, or really that's pretty much it at this point, because yeah, the 49ers and the Seahawks aren't going to collapse, and if they do, they still have enough wins to get in. So it's going to be the Packers or the Vikings collapsing. If that doesn't happen, then the Bears aren't getting in, the Rams aren't getting in, and none of the other teams that are currently in the hunt are getting in.
Yeah, so the Bears are relevant, lowercase relevant. The Cowboys are relevant, uppercase relevant. But it's because of the rest of that division. And the issues surrounding this Cowboys team seem like ones that they've dealt with before. I wonder how different it does look, though, from your perspective in the way that Jerry Jones has talked about his head coach, has talked about his quarterback, has talked about his running back, even all of them coming up to this season.
Jerry Jones is the guy in his backyard with a lawnmower that won't start, and he is ripping the cord as hard as he can in every direction possible. And you know how you do it, like sometimes, well, if I pull it from the side, or if I pull it straight up out of the middle, or if I pull it straight back, he is trying everything he can to get the lawnmower started. And you know, at some point he just needs to stop talking, because there are mixed messages coming from him. Usually the good cop and the bad cop are two different people. He's both, depending upon which week it is, and whatever he thinks at that time is the best strategy to try to boost the team toward winning. They, I think, right now are more likely to win the division. It's going to come down to week 16 at Philadelphia. If the Cowboys win that game, you know, what scares me is the very real possibility that the Cowboys can treat week 17 like a bye. And the loser of the San Francisco at Seattle bloodbath is going to limp into Dallas the next week and potentially lose to the Cowboys, when that shouldn't be the case. They shouldn't have to go on the road. I just posted about this. I don't know why the NFL clings to the idea that because you happen to be the least dysfunctional of four horrible teams, you're guaranteed a home game in the wild card round, no matter how good the five seed is. I don't like it. It's not fair. I don't know what the argument is against it. And I would like one of the 32 teams to propose, when it's time to put in the submissions for new rules in March of 2020, propose that rule change, propose a requirement that at least you have a winning record to host that game, or just straight seeding based upon where you finish in the broader NFC standings. Yes, you get a playoff spot, even if you're 8-8 and there are teams that are 9-7 that get frozen out. But no, you don't get to automatically host that game. I think that's a problem. I don't know why they won't fix it. And every few years, we find a situation like this. This could be the most extreme, though. We could have like a five-game spread between the Cowboys and whoever they end up hosting in the wild card round.
Jerry Jones made the cryptic comment of Jason Garrett will coach in the NFL next year. Yeah, but he's currently the coach of your team. It's a very strange thing to say. Will another team, would another team hire Jason Garrett? And who has a good, solid head coaching job first, Jason Garrett or Ron Rivera?
Well, First of all, I think it'll be Ron Rivera. Two-time coach of the year, took a team to the Super Bowl. And the fact that Ron Rivera's got 4 weeks of a head start on everyone else, and now all the owners out there who may be thinking about upgrading the team know that he's available. I look at it this way. Jason Garrett's original contract with the Cowboys expired after the 2014 season. Everybody knew it was going to expire. Everybody knew he didn't have an extension. Was anyone clamoring to hire Jason Garrett? I mean, is there some professional courtesy we don't know about where teams give other teams a right of first refusal or an opportunity to rehire their coach when the season ends? There was no talk about anybody, you know, wanting Jason Garrett. I mean, think about other coaches out there. If it was a given Mike Tomlin was going to be gone from Pittsburgh, I think we'd already know who's going to hire him next. Remember last year when there was a thought that John Harbaugh might be done in Baltimore and they were lining up to potentially hire John Harbaugh? I mean, the buzz would be out there. The only thing we've heard, it was a week and a half ago, it was one of the Sunday splash reports that Jason Garrett's first choice would be the Giants if he's not kept in Dallas. And I feel like that was a shot across the bow at the Cowboys to be careful what you wish for. If you don't bring this guy back, you may have to deal with him twice per year. And that's the same day, 12 hours later, that Jerry Jones kind of took the gloves off a little bit and started calling out Jason Garrett. So I think there's, you know, a little nuance, a little subtext, a little back and forth, a little passive-aggressive stuff happening. But I don't think Jason Garrett's going to be a head coach in the NFL next year. The only way he's going to be is if he keeps the Cowboys job. And I think he needs to do something that no Cowboys coach has done since 1995, which is take the Cowboys to the NFC Championship game. I don't think he has to punch it through to the Super Bowl. I think if he just gets them a game away from the Super Bowl, that will vindicate Jerry Jones' faith in Jason Garrett and cause Jones to give him a new contract, even if it's only like a three-year deal.
Did Panthers owner David Tepper do the right thing in cashiering Ron Rivera? Is he prepared to go a step more and wipe the slate clean when Cam Newton has his, apparently he's having foot surgery? They could move on from both head coach and quarterback real quickly.
Well, I'd like to know who David Tepper has in mind, because I don't think you just blindly flush one coach without considering what's behind door number two. That would be reckless. That would be foolish. And so David Tepper, I believe, enters this process knowing who he wants and probably having a pretty good idea he's going to get who he wants. And I know that runs contrary to the letter and the spirit of the Rooney Rule, but that's how the sausage gets made. Owners decide who they want before they throw away the guy they have.
So who is it?
I don't know. I don't know. David Tepper knows, and we're all going to find out. And look, they've done a very good job of keeping things close to the vest. There wasn't even the courtesy five-minute heads-up leak to Schefter or Rappaport that Ron Rivera was getting fired. And usually that happens. And so much of what passes for journalism in this industry is somebody getting a five-minute warning on an announcement that's about to be made. Big freaking deal. There wasn't even that. So they're on full and complete lockdown in Carolina, and only Tepper knows what he's doing, and we're going to find out in due course. And look, whoever the coach is going to have major influence on whether or not Cam Newton stays. And if I'm Cam Newton, I'm probably ready for a change of scenery. And if I'm a Panthers fan, I'm fatigued by the constant worry about Cam Newton. Is he healthy? Well, will he stay healthy? Can we use him the way we always have? How much should he run? How much should he not run? Can he be a pocket passer? Does he want to be a pocket passer? Is his shoulder okay? Is his foot okay? Does he have some other injury we don't know about? And I just think you get to a point, almost like Colts fans were with Andrew Luck, where you hate to see him go, but it's kind of a relief that you don't have to constantly obsess over every little ache and pain of a franchise quarterback who's been beaten to the ground over the course of his career.
Cardinals cornerback Josh Shaw has been suspended for betting on football, betting against his own team as part of a parlay. And the reason this came to light is because on his application for his betting account at Caesars, he listed his profession as professional football player. Caesars alerted the NFL, they alerted the Nevada Gaming Board, and this became what it became. I was letting my young partner, Mike, know about the saga of one George Rogers, and Connor didn't believe me.
I didn't. I truly didn't, Mike.
That George Rogers wrote multiple personal checks to buy thousands of dollars worth of cocaine, and in the memo of the check would write the word cocaine.
I didn't see that coming.
Each and every time. Now, but I'm wondering,
he was just buying the rights to the classic Eric Clapton song.
Sure. And what's the ramification of something like this? What does the league do? Obviously, you must make an example of him, but we're looking at something precedent-setting here, are we not?
Well, and here's what perplexed me on Friday. Why does the suspension of Josh Shaw for betting on football games, NFL football games, end up being tucked into a late afternoon Black Friday news dump? Shouldn't that be something that, as the NFL, you puff your chest out and you make it clear that if you bet on football, we're going to catch you and we are going to apply swift justice to you? And as reports have trickled out regarding these circumstances, and specifically the one you just referenced from ESPN.com, the idea that he put professional football player on the application for an account at Caesars Sportsbook, and Caesars promptly notified both the Nevada Gaming Commission and the NFL. Look, that underscores the fact that unless the apple falls out of the tree and hits the NFL right in the head, I don't know that they're going to catch people betting on football. And there are a lot of guys out there who are far smarter than Josh Shaw, who, if they really want to bet, are going to find a way to do it without ever being detected. And I think that that's one of the reasons why this got tucked into that little underbelly of the news cycle, because you can huff and puff all you want if you're the NFL. There is no way they have the resources from an investigative standpoint to blow anyone's house down unless they do something really stupid like list professional football player on their sports book application for an account. And that's what concerns me. How many guys out there, and I've thought for years, there's got to be guys who are playing in very high stakes fantasy football leagues that we don't know about. And how's anybody going to find out about it? And what's the real incentive for the NFL to do a scorched earth investigation so it can let everyone know how many corrupt people there are that are betting on the game or playing in high stakes fantasy football? You don't want that out there. It's just like cheating on the injury report. They don't want us to know how much cheating there is on the injury report. It's a very fine line between doing the right thing and protecting your overall image. And I think that this really is the tip of the iceberg. This is just that little piece of the iceberg that was too dumb to keep the ice underwater. I think there's plenty of ice that we don't see, and I think that's why they tried to kind of bury this into a spot where it wouldn't make the biggest possible attention grab, because the more you think about it, the more you peel the onion, the more you realize there's got to be a lot more people than Josh Shaw out there doing exactly what Shaw did.
Since we're talking so much about coaching today, with Ron Rivera getting fired from his job in Carolina, who is your coach of the year right now?
Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
And here's why. Usually you judge coach of the year based upon how a team performs in relation to the generally accepted preseason expectations. Last year, Matt Nagy, right? Nobody thought the Bears were going to win the division. Everybody thought they were going to be in fourth place. Hey, they win the division. Hey, Matt Nagy's coach of the year. For Mike Tomlin, there were pretty good preseason expectations, but the Ben Roethlisberger injury and this injury and this hardship and that hardship and the adjustment on the fly of the expectations was, you know, this team was going to have to scratch and fight and claw to avoid being the worst edition of the Steelers since 1969. There's been no Steelers team that has won fewer than five games since 1969. And after their first three games, they had to go 8-5 to avoid that, or 5-8 rather, excuse me, to avoid that fate. They've gone 7-2. So I think Tomlin deserves serious consideration. Now, look, when the season ends and we see who the one seeds and the two seeds are, then, you know, maybe one of those coaches is going to get the votes. But I think Tomlin, if he gets to the playoffs, he deserves serious consideration, and there should be a real debate on whether or not he should get that prize.
I'm with you, and I think if I had a vote, it would go to Tomlin right now. But I do find it, I don't know, somewhat disappointing that in a year where John Harbaugh has done what he's done to revamp that offense around a generational player and throw convention aside, that he will get somewhat tossed underneath a stellar coaching job by Mike Tomlin, given everything you've just said.
But if the Ravens finish with the one seed, I think Harbaugh is the other guy that we have to take very seriously. Okay. And then it becomes that, you know, it becomes a great debate, and it may come down to week 17. Maybe that's what should be on the line when the Steelers face the Ravens. Coach of the year is the winner of that game.
Yeah, I love what he did to go outside of conventional norms in reimagining how their offense is structured, and I think it should be rewarded when a coach, instead of saying, well, I do what I do, and this is what I do, I've got a system, say that instead the coach says, all right, what do I have, and how can I best deploy them? I would like to see that reinforced and that rewarded, because I would like to see more of it from NFL coaches.
Especially when we consider how close it really came a year ago.
Yep.
I don't know what happened in Baltimore to cause the folks in the front office to wake up and say, we're making a hell of a mistake here if we move on from John Harbaugh. But it was smart by the team, and it was smart by Harbaugh to find a way to continue to work together. And here they are. And right now they hold the number one seed. And if they keep playing like they have, they're going to barrel right into the postseason and maybe straight to Miami for the Super Bowl.
Mike, thanks, man.
All right, see you guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.